listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the bonus hour, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. Poll question. Couple of teams tied at two in their respective playoff series. Which one you're more concerned about? Heat, who have home court the rest of the way against the Sixers. Lightning, who do not have home ice the rest of the way against Toronto. Which team are you more concerned about?
I'm more concerned with the Lightning for the reasons you just gave.
No home ice in Toronto. You think Toronto's...
I think Toronto's better than the Sixers. Right. If you know what I mean.
So you think it's a tougher out that the Lightning have. Okay, fair enough. And because of Lowry's injury, because of Embiid remarkably coming back and playing at the level that he is, and the fact that the Lightning have the best goalie in the world until proven otherwise, I think the Heat are more vulnerable in the current position that they're in. That's our poll question. That Mark Miller, the David Moulton, FL Sports Network, all on Twitter, floridasportsnetwork.com. website. And if you miss any of our show, you can always go to floridasportsnetwork.com or millerandmoulton.com and download our podcasts. Folks are coming after us a little bit because we're talking about Rich Strike 80-1 winning the Derby and, you know, trying to put something in the area code with Rich Strike. Now, we didn't mention the obvious, and we never mention the obvious.
No.
We never do, because we have concluded individually, collectively, and as a show that the USA against the Soviet Union is in its own stratosphere.
They're not going to do a movie about Rich Strike, okay?
Although they could.
They could. And you know what? And they might. It wouldn't be as good as Miracle.
No. I mean, if for no other reason, the horse doesn't talk. But
you
although...
know.
Although, let me tell you.
Best post-race interview a horse has ever done. Got punched, bit the guy, got punched again, bit him again.
I do not contend that horses are athletes. And my go-to line when questioned about it is, when you can interview them in the post-game, then they're athletes. This horse, unable to be interviewed. However, you could argue was quotable.
And blew off the media in the post-race interview.
Now, the way I saw it, he was biting the rope of the other horse, right? And he wouldn't let the rope out of its teeth. And, you know, that's a bite. I mean, it's not a shark bite, but it's...
Yes, it is, Ed.
Can't believe you went there. Starting a little early. Ed, but that horse has got the rope of the other horse in its mouth. And so obviously the guy who's supposed to be bringing calm and order, and we're going to take a leisurely jog to the winner's circle here together, he's now fighting with the horse, arguing with the horse, if you will. And the only thing he's got is to kind of like poke the horse in the eye, kind of give it a little jab in the schnoz there.
Yeah, we got a firsthand look of what goes on between horses and their handlers, and PETA did not like it.
My wife was freaking out. Here I am jumping up and down. This is amazing. I get her, you know, emotionally invested in this thing, and of course they go to the shot, and then the one guy's punching the horse in the mouth.
I was so impressed with my wife, never gave me a watch your language. Because I did three holy blanks loud, and we were on the couch with wife, daughter, and me, and all of a sudden, I'm on my feet screaming, holy blank, holy blank. After the third one, I just looked at my daughter, and I went, sorry, don't say that.
But we didn't go there.
We went
UMBC as a 16, beating Virginia 1. We brought up Daly as a ninth alternate, getting in the PGA at the last minute, winning it when he had really not done much of anything in his golfing career at that level. You know, this horse, if you don't know, was not in the Derby Friday morning.
And that's the other part of it, is that this horse was not in the race until a late scratch on Friday from a Dwayne Lucas horse. And that allows Rich Strike in the race, basically under the wire of time to get in the race.
Second biggest underdog in Derby history. There was a horse in 1913 that was 91-1 that won the Derby. So over 100 years. And this is the 148th Derby that just took place. So, you know, you do the math. There are other upsets that have been mentioned. But for the record, I feel as if we do need to state it. We never,
ever
compare Lake Placid to anything else. Ever. We don't see how anything is ever going to enter the area code of Lake Placid. Socially, athletically, politically, etc. And so because of it, it is...
it's sacrilege to bring that up in comparison to any other sporting event, to the two of us.
So that's why, you know, and we understand if you bring it up and you go, oh, come on, how could you guys miss this? Oh, we didn't miss it. Okay, we come in every morning, and it's kind of like, what, before you run down the hill at Death Valley at Clemson?
Right.
We just come in as sports talk hosts every day, and we just pet the rock. There you go.
That's it.
All right, there you go. You guys are still undefeated. Way to go. In fact, I think Jim Craig was at the Lightning game in Game 3. I thought they showed him on the screen. And 42 years later... got a standing ovation.
You're darn right he did.
And one of the announcers said, you know, he came up with some big saves.
This just in.
There's a goalie who came up with some big saves. Yes, he did. So there you go. That's, don't know if that gets us off your list or what have you. But this whole Rich Strike thing, man, this is up there. I mean, this really is. Somebody brought up Leicester City, who when the season began that year was a bigger, much bigger underdog. I mean, somebody mentioned that when that season started, they were 5,000-1. I forget what the actual number was, but it was staggering. What was it, 6 years ago they won the title, something like that?
Sounds about right.
You know, somebody brought, I mean, we did bring this up, how close the Bengals came. The Bengals were over 100-1. Last year when the season started. At this time last year, you could get 100-1 on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. 100-1. Because also, remember, at this time last year, we didn't know the status of Joe Burrow for the 2021 season. They were hoping he could be ready for week one. Was not assured.
So, by the way, you're looking for NFL teams that are 100-1 or better.
Here we go. Is there 75-1? Because that's close. Rich Strike was 80.
The Steelers are 65-1.
Huh.
The Panthers, Bears, Seahawks, and Giants are all 100-1.
Wait, go through that list again slowly.
Panthers.
Okay.
Bears, Seahawks, Giants.
The worst team out of those four. Who do you think it is? Giants? Bears?
Panthers?
I think the Bears are going to be bad.
I know you do. Then these teams are all a little, the odds are a little worse. And I guess technically you can get the Jets at 100-1, but they're a little higher than that everywhere else. So Jets, Jags at 130-1, Lions at 150-1, Falcons at 150-1, and the Texans at 200-1.
Hold on a second. The Falcons are 150? They won 7 games last year. Okay, they did trade Matt Ryan, but the Lions?
Let me double check here. Yeah, I had to get to a better site. But yeah, the Falcons, Lions, the Houston Texans have the longest odds.
So any of these teams winning the Super Bowl,
right?
A bigger upset, in some cases not by much, than Rich Strike winning the Derby. Some pretty big odds on the Steelers, by the way. When's the last time the Steelers were 60-something-1 to win the Super Bowl?
Steelers have bigger odds or higher odds than the Washington Commanders do.
Wow. Do we think the Steelers have ever been 60-something or one to win the Super Bowl this century?
No.
I mean, they had one down year under Cowher in like 03, I think it was. But I don't think people saw the down year coming, so I don't think the odds were that outrageously bad heading into the season. I mean, it's been a long time, 60-something to one with the Steelers.
Out of these teams, would you even bet on one of them making the playoffs? Bears, Giants, Seahawks, Panthers, Jags, Jets, Falcons, Lions, Texans. You got to put money on one of them to make the just the postseason right now.
Damn. I don't know if I could do it right now off the top of my head. I really don't.
It would be so hard to do for an AFC team, of which there's only a couple on here.
Yeah, I do think you have to pick an NFC team.
Well, the only AFC teams on here are the Texans and the Jags and
right,
the Jets.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They just cross the line through those three.
The Lions are on Hard Knocks. I mean, that's a reason enough to pick them. We're going to fall in love with them. Dan Campbell. By the end of this, people will be telling you funny things about the Detroit Lions.
Biting kneecaps.
Right.
So it's got to be an NFC team. What are our NFC options again?
Bears.
No way.
Giants.
Make the playoffs.
Seahawks.
I mean, the Giants are in a really bad division.
Panthers. Falcons. Lions.
You're not going to believe this. I might actually throw the shekels on the Lions. That's not a bad offense they put together.
No.
They got
one of the receivers won't be there until halfway through the season at best.
I know. Got a good tight end?
They do.
Got three really good two tackles and a center.
And they have DeAndre Swift.
Who's unproven, though. Inconsistent. All right, got to stay healthy.
True, but he does play for the Lions.
Which means he'll be hurt and not play for the Lions.
And inconsistent. But... And, of course, you can always fall back on. And a quarterback who's taken a team to a Super Bowl.
There it is. That's the team. That's the one, David. 150 to one.
But just to give you an idea, I mean, the Bengals from last year nearly pulled it off. Nearly pulled it off. They were 100 to one. They were nearly Rich Strike at the Derby. Miller and Moulton. Thanks for being with us. Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. The home stretch on this Monday after Mother's Day weekend. Thanks so much for being with us. You know, it's that time of the year the transfers are going to start winding down in college football and college basketball. I just saw this little factoid. Power Five schools who did not have a player drafted this year. SEC, Vandy. Big Ten, Northwestern. Pac-12, Arizona, and Colorado. ACC, Duke, Louisville, Syracuse, Big 12, TCU, West Virginia, Texas.
That is so embarrassing.
That's not the first time in the last 10 years either that Texas hasn't had a player drafted. 262 guys got drafted. Texas.
Well, the transfer portal and all, David.
I am curious, you know, NCAA going to retroactively come in and change NIL. And the problem is they come in and do it. You're going to have to dismantle everything you've set up until you beat them in court.
Perhaps. I don't think they have nearly the power they think they do to dismantle the Gator Collective and these things that are going on. Now, because they're outside entities. Now, they may not be able to act the exact same way they were before, but I don't see how you shut down a 501(c), because that's what these things are put up for. How are you going to shut that down?
They're the NCAA. They can do whatever they want until you go to court and beat them. I mean, is this going to be, and I could be way off base here, you and I are pro betting on sports. You don't want to bet on sports? Don't. And we're all for taxing it, regulating it, and having the best paid public workers and roads and schools in the state. That's always been our theory on it. You know, the state of Florida came out with their, you know, hey, this is how we're going to do it. Mobile betting, this is the thing we put together. And everybody said, yeah, you can't do that. It's not legal. It won't work. And until they could get to court and prove what most legal people thought was, in fact, the law, what do we have, 6 weeks? Where
right.
You could bet in this state mobily and what have you.
All right. One, it is apples and oranges, and you know that. We're not going to get through all the minutiae there, but obviously one was with the federal government, the other was with the NCAA. The problem here, David, as I see it, is that the NCAA has no real recourse here. They can go after teams that are pay for play. They can try to find spots where players have been illegally recruited under the guidance of they were going to get money. But to go ahead and put the collectives back seems impossible to me because, well, they already lost the NIL battle with the Supreme Court. So the money that's coming in may have to figure out a different way to disperse the money, but I don't see any way for them to stop the flow of money from coming. All they have the ability to do is to try to investigate and see if kids were promised money before signing a national letter of intent. Those players could get in trouble. Once they're on campus, it may have to be a hush-hush and a wink-wink, but I don't see how they stop this. And the articles that I've read so far, none of the NIL collectives think that they have any issues going forward.
Late last week, ADs, Power 5 ADs, were meeting in Arizona. And the one who was most public was the athletic director at Colorado, Rick George. This is the time we have to put our stake in the ground. Enough. This is not acceptable. What we're doing is not good for intercollegiate athletics, and it has got to stop.
Boy, does that not sound like I don't like the way this is going, get off my lawn, guy. We basically stuck our head in the sand for 5, 8, 10 years and did nothing.
Well, and there's no doubt.
And now we want to stop it. Good luck.
There's no doubt. And what they're being described in this article as college leaders, you basically could say ADs. They're strongly urging the NCAA enforcement team to begin investigating what they deem to be the obvious recruiting violations past and present. Donor-led collectives that have struck deals with players before they even sign their binding letters of intent.
And again, these are going to have to be found out as written deals because I don't know how a verbal deal is going to pass on this. Hey, if you sign with Florida, we're going to get you X. They're going to have a hell of a time proving that. Now, if it's in a text message, if it's written down, if plenty of ways to find out if this actually happened. But the collectives won't go away.
You know, Darren
Heitner,
he tweeted over the weekend in which he said, this is concerning here. This is going to make what has now been set up for 10 months. He goes, this is going to make it messy. Some things are going to have to be torn down, done differently at the very least. By the way, Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith is on this group. And so those who heard, oh, well, the Colorado AD, I mean, I know they're in the Pac-12, but, you know, they're not. You know, they're not the big, big boys. They're just the big boys. Well, you don't get much bigger than Ohio State.
No, you don't. But why would Ohio State want the status quo to change? They do really well by it. You could argue that the Colorados of the world be the ones that want every bit of change to come because it would be an opportunity for outside money to help them. Ohio State doesn't need any help. They're still on top.
Here's, and I don't know if you can go here, but the crux of the matter is that ADs, at least late last week in Arizona, are tired of boosters or booster-led collectives that are doing the recruiting. That what they're trying to say is that, listen, if I can get Mark Miller to commit to come play at Michigan State, that's great. Now, once Mark Miller's here, once he's signed, okay, now we can bring in Felipe and a couple of other boosters and meet with Mark Miller and say, hey, let's see what we can do for you.
Right. They don't want the first meeting to be with the collective. They want them to at least get on campus before, when they get all their books and they get signed in and get their equipment, then go over to that building over there across the street from campus, right, and the collective will take care of you.
Exactly.
As opposed to the other way around.
Right. Cannot. They don't want boosters or booster-run collectives to be communicating with student-athletes or anyone associated with the student-athletes, because, of course, you can get agents now, to encourage them to remain enrolled or to attend an institution. And by remain enrolled, there are certain people who are like, you know, I think I'm going to transfer. And then boosters have been like, wow, well, let's see if we can do something about your deal. Which is what, remember, the Miami kid?
Yes.
Was threatening to do, and John Ruiz said, yeah, the United States doesn't negotiate with terrorists. I don't renegotiate with college athletes. Don't know what to tell you.
You know, and Mr. Ruiz, you and people like you are the ones that started it, and now you're shocked that the kid wants more money.
Gene Smith says, what's happening now, I only know what I hear, is the inducements violate the rules. Hopefully we can pass this, by the way, today, is what he was saying, and it will give more clarity and guidelines. But then the NCAA has to enforce, and the schools need to enforce.
Okay. And David, would you self-report?
No. And of course, we know NCAA enforcement is so thorough and so strict.
Miller and Moulton. Unless Charles Robinson's coming after you from Yahoo, you're in pretty good shape. Thanks for listening right here on the Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes until the top of the hour. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Pat Kerwin on the show tomorrow. You know, we were talking a moment ago. A little college football, the NIL. The deadline has come and gone if you've wanted to transfer. It was a week ago. But a lot of times it takes 2-3 extra days for the final paperwork to get in and all that. So the list is now out, Mark. Jeff Goodman just released the list. You know, nearly 360 Division I men's basketball programs. 360, nearly. A few shy. 10 did not have a scholarship player, not a walk-on. 10 of them did not have a scholarship player in the transfer portal this year. Duke, Miami, Kansas, Gonzaga, St. John's, Rutgers, LIU Brooklyn, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, Grambling, Army.
By the way, it means players transferred from Navy and Air Force if they were on scholarship.
Correct.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Absolutely. Right. Now, Duke had their whole starting five leave, but they're all playing professionally.
And the Zags had a few that are going to the draft as well.
Right. You know, Miami lost kids to graduation. But six big boys, if you will. Duke and Miami from the ACC, Kansas from the Big 12, national championship Kansas, by the way. Zags, who even though they're in the West Coast Conference, come on, they're a big boy. St. John's and Rutgers, Big East, Big Ten. There you go. So six out of the, you know, you want to include the Big East, you know, it takes the numbers up to around 75. You throw in Gonzaga and a few others. So the top 80 programs, the power programs, six of them did not have a kid, scholarship kid, get up and leave.
And you think that the NIL is what's bothering these coaches, folks. You're nuts. It's the portal that's got it first. They were already paying the players. That's nothing unusual. It's just coming from a different bank account now. But they were able to keep them. I don't know whether I want to watch Blue Chips when I go home or
that
one-on-one.
That movie's now getting better.
Well, so is Robbie Benson one-on-one. That you've got to be at least 50 years old to have any idea what the hell we're talking about.
Felipe asked, I think it was early last week, maybe it was a little longer ago than that. You asked, what is the definition of hokey? And we're not talking Virginia Tech. Blue Chips. Hokey, yes or no?
No.
Was it hokey before all this started 10 months ago?
Hokier. One-on-one's hokey.
One-on-one's hokey.
Because he gets the girl.
Yes, he does.
And he had no shot at her.
I mean, he was, you know.
First off, they had to get a taller kid to play the character.
Totally.
He's like 5'8".
Right.
Not even believable as a college basketball player.
No, he's not. But he can shoot it. So, you know.
Playing basketball.
So
look it up.
Trust me.
No, I know that song, but your iteration of it was just god-awful.
I wasn't doing anything from the song. I was imitating Robbie Benson when he was on speeders during the movie One-on-One.
Okay, see, there you have me lost.
Once again, that's the bell. One-on-One reference. Boom. All right, let's do this.
Leave it to the oldest guy in the show, and definitely the oldest soul, to live in the past. Here's David Moulton with Today Was the Day When.
Hey, I'm going back 1386. There's a method to the madness. 636 years ago. It was the Treaty of Windsor. Portugal and England decided they're going to stop fighting one another. And guess what? 636 years later, they have not fought one another. It is the oldest diplomatic alliance in the world that is still in force. Ah!
Oh, look at you.
Treaty of Windsor. 1865, President Andrew Johnson issues a proclamation declaring that armed resistance in the South is virtually at an end. And therefore, May 9th, 1865, became the accepted end date of the Civil War. Lasting a little over 4 years, and obviously Lincoln did not live to see the end of it. Speaking of days that are accepted as the end date, yesterday, May 8th, is VE Day in this country. Victory in Europe. Today is the day that Russia celebrates as...
And they are.
At the end of World War II. So, there you go.
Well, they're trying to start World War III.
You're right. Yeah. That's called irony. 1914, President Woodrow Wilson proclaims Mother's Day.
Huh.
I did not know that. And
old,
I went to...
Old Woody had a soft spot for moms.
Yes, he did. And I went to Herbert Hoover Junior High School. We were arch rivals with Woodrow Wilson Junior High School. But I did not know that.
Well, they probably taught it at the other school.
Probably did. Our school, we didn't pay much attention to it. Woodrow Wilson, what do they know? All right, 1961. The FCC chairman, Newton Mino, calls television, quote, a vast wasteland.
Hit the nail on the head there, didn't he?
He said that about TV 61 years ago. I'd like to dig him up, give him a couple days with a clicker, let him binge watch what's out there, and how would he describe this? If it was a vast wasteland in 61. Also on this day in 61, Orioles' Jim Gentile hit not one but two grand slams and had nine RBIs in a win against the Twins.
They call a good day.
You know, it really is. Johnny Bench hit three homers in a game today for the second time in his career.
He was pretty good.
You know, he really was. Friend of the show, too. It was on this day in 74, the House Judiciary Committee began hearings on impeaching President Nixon. 3 months to the day, he would resign. On this day in 1980, Friday the 13th was released. That's the original of the slasher horror films, right?
I think so. It's not a...
You know, because you
Halloween had... might have been before that.
How do you not release Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th?
Well, you know, that's a fair point. I got to give you that. If we're in the marketing meeting, I think that is very fair that you brought that up.
Depends on when the next Friday the 13th was that year, though.
Push the movie.
So 1980.
Got to get it out for the summer.
Look up your 1980 calendar.
It was a big deal to get movies out for the summer.
1980?
Yeah. Look up your 1980 calendar. So they released it on May 9th. And the problem is, you know, by middle of June, and then April might be too soon. So that's why. 1984. The White Sox beat the Brewers 7-6 in 25 innings. The game started on May 8th. They stopped it, came back, finished it on May 9th.
Friday, June 13th. June 13th would have been.
Well, then there you go.
Five weeks you'd have had to wait.
Come on.
Well, it's a week before summer. Summer starts what? 20th? 21st? 22nd?
Got to get this out. Kids are getting out of school. We got to get this sucker out. Got to get it building.
Would have been. Tell you what, though, Felipe. Good idea. I think healthy debate in the marketing room. That's fair. Come on, guys. We should release Friday the 13th on. Wait for it.
Friday the 13th.
Final episode of The Golden Girls, 30 years ago today on NBC. 1992.
Doesn't do it for me the way it does it for many others.
My wife loves that show. We all have our shows that we stop and watch.
I've learned not to fight with the Golden Girl crowd because they will come after you.
Yeah, they're belligerent, yeah.
Try to go to breakfast and have those people mad at you.
I believe it's called the 239. 1995, the Indians score 8 runs before making an out in what ended up being a 10-0 win over the Twins. That's an oddity. The Huffington Post website, sure, very popular in these parts, created on this day 17 years ago in 2005. Heck, we got over half our audience going, what the hell are you talking about? It's, shall we say, left of center politically. And 12 years ago today, Dallas Braden threw his perfect game against the Rays. And basically a year later was done.
Yep.
Hurt his arm. And I don't know if he ever made it back to the majors. It was on Mother's Day. His mom had passed away at a young age. His grandmother was in the first row behind the A's dugout when he threw the perfect game. Really emotional scene.
Yep.
At Oakland Alameda Coliseum, when at the time they drew more than 4,000 a game.
They did. Yep. Watch that game with my dad on Mother's Day, which, you know.
Exactly.
Irony.
Yeah. Kind of like Russia and the Ukraine right now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Harry Vardon, Pancho Gonzalez, Mike Wallace, Frank Perdue, and Tony Gwynn. All born on this day and no longer with us. Tony Gwynn would have only been 62 today. And he's been gone 8 years. Right. John Mahaffey and Calvin Murphy are both 74 today. Mahaffey won a PGA, and Calvin Murphy, best known for having the long free throw, consecutive free throw streak. Had that record for a long time. Stevie Eiserman is 57 today. Stevie Y, 57.
Happy birthday, Captain.
Prince Fielder is 38. Jake Long is 37. Robbie Anderson, wide receiver, Carolina, is 29. Trey Lance, Jimmy G's backup until we're told otherwise, is 22. Candace Bergen is 76 today. How old do you think the piano man is?
Oh, 72.
Billy Joel is 73 years old. It's a really good guess. And that is Today Was the Day.
73 years old, huh?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
We go north to a small restaurant in London, Ontario, where Irene and Tony Demas own the restaurant. And you know, David, back in the 70s, people were just a lot nicer, apparently, because a bright-eyed chef in her 20s, she would exchange for daily fresh flowers, soup and a sandwich next door to the florist. That's how they'd get flowers in there. And an English painter who came in every day, they'd get some paintings for him in exchange for a grilled cheese sandwich. Turns out one of those paintings is worth $35,000. That'd be one great sandwich. For the bad, we go to St. John's County, where at Punta Verde High School, students and faculty walking in Thursday morning walked into a dead shark hanging from the ceiling of the school.
Damn, is this like the horse in the bed in The Godfather?
No, it was a senior prank gone wrong. By all accounts, some kids caught the shark, gutted the shark, froze the shark, hung the shark.
Wow.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
School got rid of the shark before Fish and Wildlife could check out the shark, which is probably good news for the seniors that did the pranking. Finally, the ugly.
Do you let him graduate after that?
Oh, come on. Lighten up, Francis.
That was just a question.
Well, I'm letting him graduate.
I mean, I let people graduate, if not for their parents and grandparents.
Apparently, it's important to them.
It is. Get them a card when you can.
For the ugly, we go to Blair County, Pennsylvania, where Larry Williams, and it says Lawrence Williams, but there is not a doubt in my mind that he goes by Larry or Lair, because he showed up for his arraignment on DUI charges drunk. Not to mention that he drove his vehicle to court, where District Judge Fred Miller saw him visibly drunk and red bloodshot eyes. It's his third DUI in recent times, and he didn't get to leave this time. Combined bail was set for $40,000, and, well, for showing up drunk to a DUI case, he'll spend a little time in the Blair County prison. And that, David, is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, May the 9th, 2022.
All right, big day, Mark. Big day. First off, baseball. Rays and Marlins, both in action. They're both on the road. Rays are in Los Angeles to take on the Angels. Marlins are in Arizona to face the Diamondbacks. Reds trying to win two in a row for the first time this year, hosting Milwaukee. NHL for playoff series. Panthers in Washington. Do they even the series at two? Rangers in Pittsburgh. Calgary in Dallas. Colorado looks for the sweep in Nashville. NBA. Milwaukee a one-point favorite at home against Boston. Golden State, 10.5-point favorite, with likely no Ja against Memphis.
I'll lay the point with Golden State. I think they win and cover.
I think the Panthers even it up tonight, Miller and Mullen.